Well, let's pray. Our loving God, we pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would inspire our hearts that we would respond to all that he has for us today. We pray in his name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I hope that you are both enjoying and being challenged by this Exploring Evangelism series. Conrad's handing something out at the moment, but it's right at the end of the sermon, so don't let it distract you right now, because I'll explain what it is when we get to it. God put it on my heart very early in my phase of being at St. Hilary's evangelism and developing an evangelism strategy for the church was really important. Evangelism is a thing that we all say we should be doing, but often are not doing. And there's a whole lot of reasons that you've probably heard over the last few weeks why we tend to not do it. The main one is it's hard. We find it hard, especially if we're not naturally gifted as evangelists. So I don't know about you, that's my experience. It does not come naturally to me, but over the years I've challenged myself to witness my faith to others because I actually believe it's a core part of being a Christian. Not everyone is an evangelist, but every believer is called to witness the good news that Jesus is both Lord and Saviour of their lives. Now, some of you know my wife, Heather. She is an evangelist. When we get on a plane together, I put my headphones in and hope and pray that no one wants to talk to me. My wife is the opposite. She'll talk to everyone. Recently, our daughter Mary injured herself at school and we went off to emergency together. She's fine now, by the way. And we waited about 6 hours in ER. And Heather spoke to everyone, even prayed with a woman who was in a lot of pain. 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, when Heather was pregnant with Mary, she took a flight from Melbourne to China. And it wasn't a very good flight and she felt sick and unwell being, you know, quite pregnant all the way. This was one of the few occasions where she didn't feel up to making conversation. But the man next to her was keen to chat and eventually she took her headphones out and began to give him a minimal amount of attention. The conversation turned to what Heather does and she told him that she was a priest working in a church at that time. And he asked, what's church? And she told him. Then she put her headphones back in and resumed feeling unwell by herself. And a few minutes later, the man got her attention again, having sat quietly for a bit and said to her, maybe I would like to become a Christian. For Heather, it seems as though God just brings people to her. For the rest of us, it's perhaps not so easy. But today's sermon is entitled Embracing Every Opportunity. That's what Heather had to do on the plane, but it is what each of us is called to do. If you don't consider yourself an evangelist, you don't necessarily have to go looking for it. But when God places an unsaved person in our path, our baptismal call is to embrace the opportunity and share the hope that we have in Jesus. Now, last week, Liz took you through the first section of chapter 4, where we encounter a Samaritan woman going to fetch water in the middle of a hot day. And Jesus here breaks almost every social convention imaginable to engage her in a conversation. The conversation shows us a lot about how gospel conversations can happen. Do you notice in the encounter how Jesus begins by engaging her in a conversation about water, initially literally about the stuff in the well. But as the conversation progresses, Jesus moves the conversation to more spiritual things. He begins to talk about the water that he will give. And now he's no longer talking about the wet stuff in the well, but something else. This talk about water that quenches one's ultimate thirst piques the woman's interest. And so Jesus engages her more deeply and eventually to a moment of inviting her to place her trust in him. Now what we see next is a transformation in her whole disposition. Our passage today begins with the same woman, initially reluctant, now leaving her water jar and running back to the town to herself now give witness to the good news that she has encountered. When you think about it, each one of us who have made a decision to follow Jesus are this woman. We have encountered Jesus, and the overwhelming joy should be to dispense with convention and run to tell everyone we know that it's safe and effective to place all our hope and trust in this Jesus. And I want you to notice that this very well-known story about this woman transformed a whole town. We're not told what this town was. We know about this woman. Actually, we don't even know her name, but we know the story about this woman. But in verse 39, we hear, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. And she said, he told me everything I ever did. So how do we embrace every opportunity? How can we leverage our own context, our own networks, our own situation to walk in our baptismal calling of sharing the hope that we have? Well, let me suggest three ways that we see in John chapter 4. The three ways are these. Number one, intentional prayer. Number two, starting conversations. And number three, being prepared to be just one part, one piece in the puzzle. Let's start with prayer. It's not an exaggeration to say that prayer is the most important part of evangelism. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit convicts hearts, but in his grace and benevolence, God involves us in the process of leading people to faith. But he calls, he convicts, he ultimately creates the longing in a person's heart, and there comes a time when we need to simply get out of the way and let the Spirit do his work. However, prayer is key. How so, I hear you ask. Well, prayer is something all of us can do. You may say, I don't know any non-Christians, or I don't have energy or capacity to meet new people, or I'm too tired or too sick or too whatever to be proactive about sharing my faith. And all of these things may be true, but all of us can be and should be praying for people to come to faith in Jesus. My friend Julianne, who's one of the most effective evangelists that I know, worked for many years at Melbourne University. She trained students up to have gospel conversations and to be prepared to respond to their hard questions about life and faith. But as part of the process each week, these students gathered in groups of two or three and specifically prayed for other students and loved ones that they were hoping would come to Christ. This was an important part of the process. This point is somewhat implicit in today's reading, but take note of verse 32 when Jesus says to his disciples, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. What this suggests and what we know from other passages is that Jesus is in constant prayerful dialogue with the Father, and we need to be too. And that's something we can do irrespective of age, stage, situation. Whether we are sharing our faith with others or praying for people, for other people who will be sharing their faith with others, prayer is an absolutely fundamental part of the process that cannot be dispensed with. In conversation with the Holy Spirit, we can be strengthened in our resolve about sharing with someone, given boldness to have a conversation, or even be convicted that the timing may not be right right now, and just to listen and to engage. But most importantly, something that every one of us could do right now, if we're not doing it, is write down the names of five non-Christian friends or non-Christian family members who we would like to see come to a saving faith in Jesus, and commit to praying through that list every day. That's one. If you take nothing away from today's message, one easy thing that all of us can be doing. And if you don't know any people to write down, come and see Conrad or I. We'll give you some names. You can pray for them. Number two, start conversations. The next thing we need to do is be proactive. You know, when the opportunity arises, not to be scared. And I say this to myself as much as anyone else. As I always say, I feel like my calling is to the church. It's very easy to talk here, up the front, to the church. Out there is a different story, right? But we all need to challenge ourselves a bit. Recently, we were on our staff retreat, and my room had a bookshelf with a few random books on it. And one of them was called How to Start a Conversation with Anyone, or something to that effect. I didn't have time to read it, but it made me think about how scared we can sometimes be just to get to know people. And perhaps, you know, you might be sitting there and go, that's not an issue for me. I'm very happy to talk to people. And that's great. As we've already noted, Jesus crossed multiple cultural boundaries to talk to the woman at the well. And once they got past the initial awkwardness of a Jewish man speaking to a woman at a well without anyone else around, Jesus engaged her, initially about water, and then about spiritual things, and then about her own life. Generally, you'll find that when you engage people in conversation, the things that they like talking about are themselves, their work, their family, and their hobbies. After all, they're experts on those things, and you're not. You were all experts on the things that we like doing. Listening is a huge part of the conversation. That is why God gave us one mouth and two ears. Listening is doubly important. Once you've listened to the other person speak, you can find points of connection. You can share about your own work or your own family or your own hobbies where there are points of connection. They can get to know you. It's just a safe person, an easy person to talk to about life. This kind of conversation tends to be disarming and relaxing for someone who might have been a bit uptight to share anything in the first instance. So much of the work of witnessing and evangelizing is making connections and befriending people. The God we worship is the God of love. That's his name and that's his character. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. When we show others love through our heartfelt interest and conversation, they start to experience God in us even before we start saying anything. We may not even say much about our faith in that first conversation, but as we engage over a period of time, they start giving us permission to do so. Our faith is a key feature in the things that are important to us. And speaking about our own story of trusting in Jesus and about how Jesus has recently been at work in our lives is a great place to start. We can speak confidently and authoritatively about that because it's our story. People can refute Christianity. They can say, I don't think the Bible's true. But they can't really say, when you tell them about yourself, they can't really say, well, that's not true. Because that's your story about how God's at work in your life. So we pray, we start conversations. And that leads us to the final point, which is be prepared to be just one piece in the puzzle. What do I mean by that? When you are sharing your faith with someone, whether you do this in one conversation or over the course of many days, weeks, months, or even years, we often mistakenly think that we have to do it all and that people are in one of two stages, kind of saved or unsaved. And in one sense, that is true. But from a witnessing conversation perspective, people may be moving more than you think. Now, this is where I come to the handout that I handed out. I like this tool developed by a man named James F. Engel. Now, it's a tool like any tool. You know, it doesn't explain all truth. Only the gospel does that. But it's a tool that I find helpful. And I find it encouraging. He proposed that most people start not at, you know, unsaved and then one step towards saved. Most people start back at minus 10, right? -10 no God framework, and then you might have a conversation with them, and they might move to -9, an experience of emptiness. You know, and someone else might have a conversation with them, and they might move to -8, a vague awareness of Christianity, and so forth. It really doesn't matter what those lines say; it's the principle that's more important. This idea that most people start way back there, especially in Australian society today, where people go, if you ask them, you know, what's the church about? They might say, you know, they run charitable organisations, they run community events, they have nice halls that we like to hire for our community events and so forth. A lot of people, unless they've grown up in some sort of Christian environment, will not have the language for that. And so you might be an evangelist and you might have a conversation with someone and you might give a ripper gospel conversation and then not much seems to happen and you walk away feeling a little bit like, gosh, didn't I do it very well today? Or, you know, how come it worked last time but it didn't work today? And the thing might be that they're back at -8 or -7 or whatever and you move them to -5 or -4. So something's, you know, God's doing something. The Holy Spirit is convicting, but it's not, you didn't get a chance to lead them to trusting faith in Christ in this conversation. That's okay. If there's someone you know, that might be the work that you do next time you catch up with them. If they're not someone you know, if you just happen to meet them or you just have this one opportunity to talk to them, just trust that God's going to send someone else to do the next part. And we see this in a few places in the scripture, don't we? So Paul writing to the church at Corinth and acknowledging the important work of other gospel workers wrote, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through which he came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The sentiment is echoed in today's passage as well, in verses 36 and 37, where it says, where Jesus says, "Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true." So gardening metaphors, I'm not very good at gardening, but you know, just this idea that it's not all on us. No one conversation is all on us. And so as we return to the question of how do we embrace every opportunity, let us be reminded that the most important thing we can do is be intentionally prayerful about the people in our lives that we want to see know Jesus. Make a list and pray for them every day. And number two, we want to make conversations. Make friends. Don't be afraid to engage people in conversations. What we know from statistics is that most people, once they've been Christians for 7 years, most of their friends are Christian too. So I think people in this room have been Christians for more than 7 years. So, you know, sometimes you have to be proactive in the people that we talk to. Do lots of listening. Find out what's important to them. Use that as a basis for engagement. Move things into a spiritual conversation when it's right. And there's no need to rush into it, but also don't wait forever to do it. You know, at some point, God gives us an opening to actually be a bit bold in sharing the hope that we have. And thirdly and finally, think of yourself as one piece of the puzzle or one part of the gardening process. Sometimes your job is just to water. Sometimes your job is to scatter or plant seeds. And sometimes it's to harvest. Sometimes someone else has done all that work and our job is actually to say, you know, have you ever had a chance? Has anyone ever given you an opportunity to put your trust in Jesus? We could do that right now. Remember that the Engel scale has 15 stages, 10 of them are before coming to faith. This may seem discouraging, but it should actually be encouraging, because even when it feels like nothing is happening, something most likely is. I hope that this series and today's message assists us in being a little bolder, bolder in prayer, bolder in conversations, and bolder in engaging people with the good news of Jesus. Remember that if we lean into the Holy Spirit in prayer, He will guide every aspect of every encounter. So why not embrace the opportunities that are before us? Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this term and this day to focus on evangelism and witnessing our faith. We thank you for this reminder today that we're invited to embrace every opportunity. And wherever that opportunity comes, I pray that all of us in this room today would feel a little bit more equipped and encouraged to have a conversation about faith with someone in the near future. Would you bless us and strengthen us in this endeavor, and would the Holy Spirit guide all our words and all our actions and all the ways that we engage. And we pray these things today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.